Well, good morning. Welcome to Worship on the Hill. It's good to have all of you here, especially those of you who are our guests today. We just want to say welcome, and it's just great to see everybody here this morning. It's good to be back. It seems like I've been out of the pulpit for a long time, and I'm glad to be here this morning with you and get to share in God's Word. I want to ask you to take your Bibles, if you will. We're going to look at Psalm 119 and verse 37. I want to just use that as a springboard. We're in their series, Be the Light. This is Missions Month, as Pastor Ben shared so well last Sunday. It was just such a blessing to sit and hear him and to sit under his teaching and all the things that he did. Just did a great job. Wasn't the choir exceptional this morning? You say amen to that? Let's let them know we appreciate that. Yeah. I tell you what, it looked like all those choir members just looked tremendous. And I thought we had it was like 8 pounds of stuff in a 4-pound bag. I thought, do we have enough chairs up there for all of that? I thought, somebody's not going to have a chair. It looked great. Good to see all of you up there and singing. And Brooklyn Tab, eat your heart out. You did a great job, people. I just want to brag on you. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else this morning except right here. It's just good. Thank you so very much. Yeah. I want to talk this morning from God's Word about the reason that you were born. As I think about missions, I have to settle here because missions is not just for a missionary. Missions is for all of us because in Christ, the Bible's very clear that all of us have been assigned the work of missionary. I want you to look at Psalm 119, verse 37. Psalmist in New American Standard, he says, turn my eyes away from looking at vanity. Looking at that which is vain, is unimportant, it's not going to last. It's like a woman or whoever looking in the mirror and doing all the makeup thing. There's vanity there because it won't last. It's going to go away. And so he says, turn my eyes from looking at that in my life that is vanity, that which doesn't last. And then he says, revive me in your ways. Your ways. Build me up again. Excite me again. And I know in the passage of time, all of us need to be revived. We need to be restoked in what God has called us to do. There was a time in your life when you came to faith in Christ that there was an excitement, there was a joy, there was this exuberance about following the Lord. And here's the danger, because we live in a world that is separated from the Lord, the danger is that our fire can get put out. Or it can begin to burn very low. And so all of us at one time or another, we need to restoke that flame. And that's what today is really about. I like what the Living Bible, the way it puts Psalm 119:37. It says, turn me away from wanting any other plan than yours. Your plan. Revive my heart, Father, toward you. Now here's what I want you to understand this morning. This is the thing that stays in my life week in and week out. This South Arkansas boy, born of average parents, exceptional parents who loved me and cared for me and provided for me. But I don't come from any kind of background that, our names would be in the paper or anything. Just Joe Q average, if you will. That's me. That's who I am. That's my background. Somebody said God must love ordinary people because he made so many of us. And there's comfort in that for me. But here's the thing that God says in the Word. This is what changed my life. The day that God came into my dormitory room there at college, and he let me know that God was interested in me. And because of his great love for me, God chased me down. I wasn't looking for him.
And I tell you right now, if he hadn't come after me, I still wouldn't be looking for him. I know that. And I hope you know that the reason that you're part of his kingdom is because God came after you first. And what God taught me in that years ago is that none of us are on this planet by accident. There's no such thing. You hear me? Time and again, parents may say to a child, you are not a plan. Or maybe they would say, you're an accident, which is a horrible thing to say to a child. But I want you to know something biblically. There's no such thing as an accidental birth. There may be accidental parents. There may be premature parents. There may be parents who get it out of order. But there's no such thing as an accidental birth. God tells us in Psalm 139, verse 16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. Unformed, before it was ever started coming together. And in your book, were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. So before I ever had my first day, and I had my first day in mama's womb, that was when it all began. And so God said, before your first day, before you were even a substance, while you were nothing, God said, I knew you. You're not an accident. You're a plan. Everybody here is a plan. And God said, I made you for a purpose. I don't know that there's anything that can absolutely change your life than for you to know every day that you wake up that you're supposed to wake up, that you're supposed to be there, that there is a plan for you. Jeremiah 1 verse 5, God said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. And I want you to look at the first truth in your life point outline. I hope each of you have got your life point outline. If you're new this morning, they're at the back on these stands if you didn't get one. And I want you to be sure and take this so you can take this home with you. God's special work for your life, the reason you were born, is your life mission. In other words, I'm here for a purpose. This is what Jesus prayed in John 17, 18. As you sent me, Father, into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Listen, if you're saved, if you're born again, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. You are sent. You and I are on a mission. I have a mission and so do you. But here's a little insight that's in your outline I want to give you. And I want you to look at this. Your personal life mission is not automatic. It's a choice. In other words, you can come to the end of your journey here on this earth and not have lived out the reason God put you here. And I think that is the reason so many people are miserable and don't understand or don't get joy out of life. It's because they're not living their purpose. They're not living why they're here. I was created. The reason God got me from South Arkansas to East Texas is because I was created to be a light in a dark world. And my journey from there to here was not a roll of the dice, it was a plan. And I began early on in my walk with him, learning the principle that if I want God's blessing on my life, every time he says something, my answer is yes. And every time I say yes, it leads me to the next step that he's got for me. And I don't know everything God's got for me. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know when my journey's done and the Lord says the purpose for your existence is completed. Come on home. I don't know when that is. But I know that the only way that I can make it to the end of that journey, having done everything he wants me to do, is that every time he says, I want you to do this, my answer is yes. Always yes. And so you've got to ask yourself this morning, every time God has said something to me that he wants me to do, has my answer always been what? Yes. So you've got to ask yourself that. God said, I have put you here in this world to be a light in this darkness. I put you to be a light to those that are lost from me, those that are lost to hope, and those that are lost to heaven. Many of us have been saved so long, we have forgotten what it feels like to be lost. We have forgotten what it feels like to not have a purpose for our existence. We have forgotten what it's like to lose someone and to have no hope of seeing them again. We have forgotten what it is like to not have a direction for our lives except the meaninglessness of just making more money, getting more things, and going here and going there and doing whatever. Nothing wrong with all that, but that's not the reason you and I are here. You and I are not now, nor will we be, a light in our dark world apart from a conscious decision. We make a conscious decision, a choice on our part, to do what God put us here to do. That's what Missions Month is all about. Let me give you some conditions for fulfilling God's purpose for you. Number one, forsake all the distractions in your life. All right. Here's a definition. A distraction is anything outside your life mission. That's a distraction. Luke 9, verse 62 in the Living Bible. Anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom. In other words, what Jesus is saying is distractions are the real issue. The thing that keeps us from being what God wants us to be is really two or three things. I think I've hit on maybe the top three. I don't know. But let me just give you what I think are big ones. Number one is a desire for wealth. I think that's a distraction. Jesus, the Lord is very clear. Jesus told us. He said, you cannot serve God and money at the same time. He did not say you cannot have God and have money. That's not what he said. He said you cannot serve both of them. You can only serve one of them at a time. And so Jesus simply was not saying that we could not be financially wealthy, that we could not have things. He wasn't saying that. He just simply said, you cannot make that the overarching goal of your life and do what I put you here to do, because you will lose sight of that. If your number one goal is to make a lot of money and then retire, then you have already missed God's purpose. There is not a person in this room that God put you here just to get rich and retire. That's not why you're here, biblically. Number two, the second thing is we get stuck in our past mistakes and failures. I want to tell you something. For the last 43 years, the first 19 years of my life has been trying to come back in and take over. Those first 19 years when I was lost, when I was living apart from God, when I was doing all the sinning that I was doing, when everybody thought he's such a good boy, and boy, were they wrong. But I was a good liar. And for the last 43 years, those first 19 have been trying to come back in. And if I ever let them get back in, if I ever let my mistakes and my failures overwhelm me, I'm useless for the Lord. Because that's all I'll think about. Luke 9, 62. No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. If you're a farmer, you understand this principle. You cannot plow a straight furrow looking back. Does that make sense? You can't do that. You can't drive forward looking back. That makes better sense. That, all right, so what God is simply saying is, if you want to move forward with me, you cannot keep looking back. Isn't that a great principle? And it's like, man, that's so true. And so what God is simply saying is, 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now listen, let me tell you something. When I go to you know, pull something out of the washing machine for Catherine. She's put clothes on to wash. If I pull something out and it's still got some stain or something on the front, do I call that washed? This is where you talk back to me. Do you call that washed? I said, no, it's not washed. It's still got this on the front. I'm not wearing that. So what does that mean? It means, so what God is saying is, he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You haven't been washed if it's still there. And he said, when you confess, I wash you. So the Lord said, when you ask me to forgive you, that's what I do. Psalm 103 and verse 12 says, the Lord, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. You know how far the east is from the west? Listen, if you start go, is that west? All right, it's like, that's west. If you start going west, you will never be going east. You'll always be going west. That's how far the west is from the east. And the Lord said, I will throw your sins away from you as far as the east is from the west. I mean, it's like forever. So what God is saying is, when you ask me to forgive you, I do it and I wash you from it. And he said, let it go. Let it go. Because I have. And if God forgives and forgets, you can too. And so God's word to some of us here this morning, to everyone who's asked forgiveness, is move on, let it go, and move forward. Can you say amen to that? Amen. All right. And then number three is your plans. If we think we can figure out what we want to do with our lives that will make us happy, we are so wrong. Here's the insight. Happiness comes from God's purpose for you. God's purpose for me is not something I can tack on to what I want to do. God's purpose is the reason I've got to choose to say, Lord, I know ultimately I will be the happiest when I'm doing what you created me to do. So the Lord says in our text, turn away from any other plan but mine. Look at this next truth. We miss our life mission being unwilling to give up our own plans. And so if you want to live out God's reason for you being here, you got to give up your plan. Hebrews 12 and 1. We should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. And so what God is simply saying is, you need to ask yourself this morning, is there something in my life, is there some plan that I just need to abandon? I need to simply say, that's not number one anymore. I want to do what God put me here to do. So here's two questions. Number one, how badly do you want to be what God put you on this earth to be? I mean, how bad do you want it? Let me tell you something. When Abraham followed God's plan for his life, when God said, I want you to leave everything that you know and I want you to go this way. I want you to leave it all behind and I want you to go this way. Now listen, that was a hard choice. Would you agree with that? That was not an easy thing to do. But here's the deal. Once Abraham did what God wanted him to do, once he packed up and moved out, Abraham's life, everything about him automatically became God's concern. And God simply said, when you do what I put you on this earth to do, I will take care of you. Social Security can't touch that. God said, I'll take care of you. So the question is, what are you willing to give up to get it? There's got to be anything. So this morning, the thing for this month is, let something go that's been between you and the Lord. And then number two, accept his purpose. Accept God's purpose for you. Say, well, what is it? All I know it is, it's about telling others. Acts 20, verse 24. The most important thing is that I complete my mission. The work the Lord Jesus gave me to do, to tell people the good news about God's grace. Paul said, the reason God left me here, my life mission, is to tell other people about him. And that's our priority as well, beloved. I mean, that's what I want you to see. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Listen. Through Christ, God has made peace between us and himself. Now listen, and he gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. So here's the truth in your outline. The best investment of time and money is getting people to heaven. If you want God to take care of you, if you want God to watch out for you, to put his hand of protection on your life and to get your back. Listen, every day of my life, I want God to have my back. How about you? Huh? It's like, Lord, watch my back. Be on either side of me and lead me forward. Listen, the best way for that to happen is for me to be doing what he put me here to do. Because when I do what he wants, then the Lord says, your cause becomes my concern. And I'm believing this morning there are some men, there are some women, there are some families that are going to make the decision this month, starting today, I want to do what God put me here to do. I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life. So here's a Bible truth in your outline. You can't take your money with you, but you can send it on ahead. And that's what Missions Month is all about. Missions Month is about motivating us, motivating me and you for the rest of our lives. That's what the hill is all about. That's what this is all about. That's why God planted this. That's why God gave us this 23 acres that for decades had been closed off to the church. Because Harmony Hill started saying yes, yes, yes to whatever God wanted. And God opened up this land. God simply said, when you make my plan your will, then I'm going to take care of your needs. And God opened up this land. Let me tell you, this is miracle land here. The woman who sold us this land promised her mother on her deathbed, I will never sell the land. But she came to figure out that it was better to say yes to God and to say no to mama. Aren't you glad? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see the miracle in that? You just think about the power of that kind of decision. And she said, I will sell it to you, even though I told my mother I never would. And so what God is simply saying is, when we commit the rest of our lives to giving our time and our money and our energy to helping people get to heaven, God said, I will take care of you. Because that's what I put you here to do. That's why you're here. You have your business to make a living for your family. But you have a calling to make a difference about your life. There's a reason you're born. And it's more than just about making money. Luke 16, verse 9. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and to make eternal friends. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. That's why we go wild every time there's a baptism, which is going to be this morning at the third service. So I invite you to come back if you want to see that. And we get excited about baptisms because that means that the trajectory of another life has been changed from hell to heaven. And that's a good thing, isn't it? That's why we're here. So if you want to be used by God, if you want God's blessings on your life, get rid of distractions that are holding you back and commit your life to God's purpose. And then number three, expect his help. Expect his help. Now, many of us have never shared our faith with anyone. And I'm not here to make you feel bad. I just want to address that. Telling someone about Christ scares the average person into silence. Most people who are born again are going to leave this world and go home to heaven, never having lived out their life mission for one reason. They were afraid. Most people never tell another human being because they're afraid. Listen to Jeremiah 7, chapter 1, verse 7. God said, go wherever I send you, say whatever I tell you, and don't be afraid of people, for I will be with you, and I will take care of you. There is a truth that when I begin to think about this truth has been working in me for the last 43 years. God didn't do it immediately, but he started it. And it keeps me on my mission. After 43 years, it keeps me still on target. And here it is, the truth in your outline. You build your life on the love of God, not the fear of people. You do what you do because it's what God put you here to do. Listen, I cannot tell you how many times over the last 43 years that there have been so many times that fear has flooded me. There have been times that I faced decisions here on the hill that maybe at home I thought I'd go to the bathroom and just toss my cookies like crazy. Fear would flood me when I would lead out in outreach. Going out and sharing my faith in Christ is not just natural with me, but I do it. We've gone through over the years, we have changed so many things here at the church. We're very traditional when I came. And I built my love with the people. And then we began changing. We began realizing there were some things that we did that were fine, nothing wrong with them, but we did them because it had always been done that way, and it was time for a change. And when you looked in the Word, it wasn't a directive from Holy Scripture. It was just the way it had always been done. And so we began to change things that were maybe outmoded or... And then we take new ventures. We started doing life groups when others were not doing that. We began going to multiple services. People, you know, we dealt with the thing, well, I won't know anybody and I'll lose relationships with people and all the fears that came. We would have building challenges in the midst of struggling economies here in Lufkin. And fear would want to come over me in leading the church in that. It's like my name would be attached to those kind of things. And what God taught me was that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing what ought to be done in spite of your fear. Courage is doing the thing that you fear the most. If you're afraid to tell a coworker that you work with about Jesus, do it anyway. Why? Because it's what you're supposed to do. Because you care about their soul. You want to invite somebody to come here to the hill and worship with you and hear the gospel and perhaps receive Christ, but you're afraid to do it. Do it anyway. Why? Because you care. And you just do what you ought to do. Let me encourage you with something. Matthew 6:33. God will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. I know that there are a lot of needs here this morning. I know we're in that time. There's so many needs. But here's the deal. Either you work to meet your own needs, or you can let God meet your needs. And what God says, here's the insight. If you take up God's purpose of telling others about Christ, He will assume responsibility for all your needs. Now think with me for just a minute. In this next year, in 2016, unless something changes, on average, there will be 2.3 million Americans that will go out into an eternity without Christ. Many of them, if not most of them. In that same time, 54 million people around the world will die. Many of them never having heard the gospel. That's why the Bible says, live with a due sense of responsibility as those who understand the meaning and the purpose of life. Make the best use of your time. Do you understand? For the last 43 years, God has been setting us up to be a blessing to Lufkin. God's just been bringing everything together to be a blessing to Lufkin, and now through missions, a blessing around the world. And so this is God's call to you today. I'm going to tell you something. In the next few moments, you can either be like a Moses, and this morning you're saying, who, me? Or you can be like a Jonah and say, not me. Or you can be like an Isaiah and say, Lord, send me. It scares me. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to say yes to you. The only time the good news is the good news is if it gets there in time. And so what I'm asking you for today, and for myself as well, that you make a commitment in this month to pray, to give, and to go. You pray for missions. You pray for Lufkin. There's so many people. Do you understand in a city that has 35,000 plus people in it on any given Sunday morning, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand there's not 10,000 people in worship in Lufkin? Do you understand that? Do you understand there are 20 plus thousand people who are not worshiping anywhere? And do we understand that God has given us 23 acres that was never supposed to be ours because God said, if you say yes to me, I will do a work in your midst because I want to reach Lufkin for my son. And if you will say yes to me, I will bring people across your path. I will open up opportunities for you to share the gospel. If you will this morning say, Lord, use me. In my work, wherever, I want you to use me. God has intentionally put people around you. He wants you to share Christ with. So I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. As we get ready for our invitational time, I'm going to ask you this morning. I'm going to ask you to come forward. If you're just willing to say, Father, I want to be used by you. I want to fulfill my life purpose. I want your hand on my life. I want to know that you're with me. I want you to have my back. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. Because you see, God, the Bible says, is looking for people that he can bless. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 says, the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfect toward him so that he can show his great power in helping them. And I want to ask you this morning, be one of those people. I'm asking God for a church of people who want to be that kind of people. You want God to bless you and to be with you, that you're saying this morning, I'm willing to abandon trivia and to folk, I want to adopt God's purpose for my life. And so if that's your desire this morning, as we stand, I want you just to get up wherever you are and just to come and stand down front. And I want to pray over you that you'll be willing to say, Lord, I want you to use me and I want to live your purpose for my life. I want to follow you. And I want to be the witness that you want me to be. Even though it scares me, I'm going to believe you're going to take care of that and you're going to help me. And I want somebody to go to heaven because of me. So I want you to stand right now while the music plays. Just come, take your place here at the front, stand here. And then I want to pray over you.